You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we had talked about the storms in our life in the last broadcast, and I just wanted to continue with this support in terms of when we are walking through storms. You know, I wanted to mention about Jesus who prayed in solitude and he walked on water. You know, after he had dismissed the crowds, he went into the hills by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was so many furlongs away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. That whole piece of scripture is found in Matthew 14, verses 23 to 25. So having healed and fed the large crowd that followed him to the place where he sought solitude after the death of John the Baptist, Jesus sends both the disciples and the large crowd away. He could now be alone as he had first intended. And nothing is said about what he did alone, but based on previous passages, he used this time to be in commune with his Father. And not only was such a time for private prayer necessary for Jesus during his own mission, it's actually very crucial for every Catholic disciple throughout our vocation and mission. Too frequently it's said about many priests and religious actually who leave the orders and ministry that the common element was that they had stopped praying. And yet many who remain in the clerical or religious life, my goodness, they've actually gone through a tough time to get there. They've survived great trials, difficulties, even persecutions, but they managed to get through their storms because they were sustained through it all by prayer. So there is great power in prayer, my friends. Time alone with God is the way to gain perspective on ourselves and our families. And when things look a little dark and murky and things just don't seem clear to us anymore, we're lost. That is such a rude awakening that, hey, you need to be in prayer with Jesus. You need to sit down quietly somewhere in your car, somewhere in your room, somewhere quiet and alone with Jesus, and just have a heart-to-heart talk with him and lay it on the cross. Just lay it there and tell Jesus everything. And of course, you can bring it to Blessed Mother, and she is our great intercessor, and she will intercede for you. From his place on the hill next to the Sea of Galilee, Jesus could see that the disciples in the boat were in serious trouble because there was another squall of water that was coming up during the night. And again, the disciples were caught in this difficulty precisely because they had followed his instructions. So Jesus comes out to them walking on water. And some of us might be familiar with this scene of Jesus walking on the water, but you may not see it through the Old Testament lens, right? especially in Psalm 77, where it says, your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, right? This psalm actually speaks about the Lord making his way through the sea and his path through the water, which is a reference to leading the people of Israel through the Red Sea on their way out of Egypt. However, the book of Job notes that God alone trampled the waves of the sea. So clearly, in the Old Testament, only the Lord God walks upon the waters of the sea. Here, Jesus goes out to meet his disciples as they confront the winds and the storm by doing what only God can do, walk upon the Sea of Galilee. And his doing so will once again answer the important question of Jesus' identity. So in this scene, we see the two aspects of prayer. Jesus demonstrating his personal desire for a prayer of contemplation and union with the Father. And the disciples in a very dangerous situation in which they need God's help. Jesus seeks, he looks for it, he's wanting the time of solitude in order to be close to the Father. People in distress, like the disciples here, feel alone, and sometimes we do feel abandoned by God. There are moments like that, I'm sure, in your life. So think back on both types of your experience of God. When have you found the Lord closest to you? Was it on a retreat, a holy hour, some other time alone maybe? Picture yourself being with Jesus in his time of solitary prayer. And recall some of your own most memorable times alone with God. What would you say? What would Jesus say to you about the importance of prayer in his ministry? What would you say to him about your own times of deep prayer? And what might he say to you about your private prayer from his perspective? Consider all those times of great difficulty in your life when you may have felt abandoned by God. And like the apostles in the boat, you may have experienced such terrible problems precisely at times when you were doing exactly what God had asked you to do. And as you picture Jesus as he walks on the water, speak to him about those times when you felt lost or abandoned in the storms of life. What would you say to him? What might he say to you about those occasions from his perspective? You know, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were scared. They thought it was a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." And you'll see it in Matthew 14, verses 26 and 27. By no means do the disciples grasp Jesus' identity yet. In addition to their fears due to the strong storm and winds, now they see Jesus walking on the sea and they become, oh my gosh, they're terrified. They're crying out loud from fear. And their first explanation of this sight is that they really are seeing like something paranormal. It's a ghost. And their first explanation of this type, this sight, is that they see a ghost. And this will be their first go-to explanation yet again when Jesus enters the upper room on Easter Sunday night. But they were startled in Luke chapter 24. But they were startled and frightened and supposed they had saw a spirit. In both situations, the ghost explanation makes more sense to them than believing that they are seeing Jesus do what is otherwise impossible by nature. Jesus immediately addresses the terrified disciples in the boat with three statements of encouragement. First, he tells them, "Take heart, have courage." Obviously, Jesus needs to say this to them because they are so scared at this apparition during a storm. And just because calling Jesus a ghost is their simplest explanation, it doesn't mean it's the most comforting one. In a storm that already has them already working hard to save their lives, the appearance to all of them together of someone walking on the water just is obviously terrifying them. Jesus calls them. He calls them to take courage and not let their fear overwhelm them. Something for all of us to remember when we're faced some very scary situations. Second, Jesus says to them, "It is I." Although this is the wording in the Revised Standard Version and other translations, the Greek text simply says, "I am." So as Jesus walks on the stormy waters, he identifies himself with the phrase, "I am." This is the name God revealed to Moses at the burning bush, a somewhat elusive name that both identifies the Lord God and maintains the mystery of his infinity. In present context of walking on the water, which only the Lord God does in the Old Testament, Jesus' self-identification as "I am" becomes yet another indicator of his divine nature. So you'll see it a few more times, actually, in John's Gospel, John chapter 8, verse 24, verse 28, verse 58, chapter 13, verse 19, chapter 18, verse 5 and 6 and 8. So third, Jesus says, "Have no fear," a command which is often addressed to individuals when they encounter God or his angels, right? In many parts in scripture, it says, "Have no fear," when individuals are encountering God or his angels. In Genesis 15, and there's also Genesis 46, Isaiah 41, Isaiah 14, Isaiah 43, Isaiah 44, Luke chapter 1, 13, Matthew 28, 5, Acts 18, verses 9 and 10, and in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. This, again, is a response to their obvious panic as they cry aloud in the stormy sea. However, Jesus' command is a response not only to the disciples' present danger, but also to his divine presence. The greatness and immensity of God overwhelms those who experience it directly, and God needs to reassure the disciples that his divine presence walking upon the waves, it's not meant for their harm. So, my friends, imagine yourself being in the boat with the disciples, and as they see Jesus coming to them walking on the water during the storm, can you relate to their fright by going back to situations in your own life when you were overwhelmed by fearful circumstances? It's a very frightening experience if you've gone to that level of fear. I know I have. Perhaps you even had a particularly frightening experience of God's presence in your life. Then focus on Jesus as he approaches the boat. What would his words mean to you? How would you react to hearing him say, "Take heart, have courage"? When you hear him say, "I am," what comes to your mind? How do you react to him identifying himself to you in this way? How do his words, fear not, strike you at this point? Speak to him in the storm, my friends. What might he say to you now? And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you," he says, "bid me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Well, come. So Peter goes out of the boat and walks on the water and comes to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And what happened? Right. He began to sink and he cries out, right away, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "Oh, man of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Well, Peter's test for discerning the authenticity of Jesus' presence is based on his willingness to take a personal risk. "Bid me come to you." He does not suggest that to anyone else take the risk of walking on the water to Jesus. He continues to demonstrate his leadership by following Jesus' command to come and actually get out of the boat. Peter was no naive fool. He had been fishing on the Sea of Galilee for years, and he well knew that no one could walk on water, let alone during a storm, right? So yet he goes out and he walks to Jesus. Well, up to that point, Peter is doing just fine. But as almost every priest, or preacher and preacher in history has noted the problem comes when he takes his eyes off Jesus and focuses on the storm. When we take our eyes off of Jesus and we focus on our storm, that's when we hit the brick wall. That's when we're lost. That's when we're sinking. That is the problem. The more whatever comes, focus on him. Turn your eyes right back to him. Do not turn your eyes inward and say, the problem is with me. No, the problem belongs to Jesus. It does not belong to you. God created you. God knows you. God loves you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He knows about your problem before you opened your mouth. He knows what you're going to say to him before you even spoke a word. God knows you, brothers and sisters. You do not have to throw in the towel. You don't have to say it's game over. Doesn't matter what prognosis, what is given to you. Believe me when I'm telling you. Jesus is our focus. Jesus is the one we keep our eyes on. We keep our eyes glued to him. Glued. Not just glancing once in a while. No, glued to him. And if you must, then please do the surrender novena to help you with that focus. That is the way you will get, you will get through the challenges. You will get through the challenge. Believe me when I say you will. Jesus is our light and our salvation. He is not darkness, brothers and sisters. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on Jesus. Surrender. Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. And when you say those words, really, truly, you have to let go. It's not your problem. It's not your problem. God loves you. He knows what's going on in your body. He knows what's going on in your thoughts. He knows what's going on with whatever challenges you're facing. Believe me, he knows. And he's there for us. He will not leave us. You know, the disciples had come to a new level of faith in Jesus, and perhaps they probably attained a glimmer of understanding about Jesus' divinity from his divine act of walking on water and empowering Simon Peter to walk on the water with him. And they may even have an insight into Jesus' hint of a claim to be, I am. So many Christians, all of us, many of us, experience crisis of faith similar to that of Peter walking on water, especially when we're faced with life problems and dangers. And it's easy. It's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy to cry and say, why is this happening to me? Where is God? How could this be happening to me? Why doesn't God do something now when I need him? Well, brothers and sisters, think back on your life like that and the ways in which you may have acted like Peter, walking on the crisis and the storms of your own life. Then picture Jesus standing before you in those moments. How would you answer Jesus' question? Why did you doubt? If he called you a person of little faith, what would you say to him? What would our Lord say to you? What would he say, brothers and sisters? It's really important that we stop focusing on our storms. They will come because we're not immortal, okay? We are mortal human beings, and we have come into this earth through original sin. We're all sinners. We'll be sinners to the day we die. But we are in exile, we must go to our Lord Jesus 24/7. We must be going to him all the time for every little thing. And for every little thing, we must give thanks. It's not just always seeking his help, but also giving thanks. And in the spite of your challenge, it's the time to really, you know, there was a song by Bing Crosby called Count Your Blessings, right? Count your blessings. when you start counting your blessings and you have this attitude of gratitude, the challenges that you're going to face, and you will face them and you'll get through them, they don't become the be-all and end-all, because you then realize who is in control of your life. Who is in control of your life? I pray to God it is our Lord Jesus. I pray that you don't think you have control of your life. No one does. Those of us who believe in the risen Lord, our risen Lord, know that Jesus is right here with us. He's right here with me, talking to you, using me to get through to you, to help you, uplift you out of that pit, to say, listen, I know you're going through challenges. I didn't promise, you know, just like, what was her name? Lynn Anderson. I didn't promise you a rose garden, right? It's true. He didn't promise us a rose garden. He did say, you're going to go through challenges. But, he said, I am here. You are to rejoice and do not fear, for I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, I'm here. I will send the angels command them to watch over you. Arrows will fall on left and right, but nothing will come near you. You have to have faith, brothers and sisters. You've got to have faith. Otherwise, you can't survive in this world like that, because you'll be relying on pagan things and you'll be relying on your own self. We're weak, brothers and sisters. We're all weak. We don't stand a chance. But we can get through, and we can have a beautiful life on this earth despite the many ugly things we see. But through the eyes of God, through our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, He will pull us out of that pit, and He will do that. He will help you. Please go to Him. And stop focusing on the problem and focus on Him. And when you are in prayer, not just telling, yes, cry to Him. Absolutely, you know, cries and moans are accepted by Jesus. He wants us. But also, thank Him. Thank Him in your prayer time. Give Him the time of day, brothers and sisters. He's beyond your best friend. He loves you more than you love yourself. Can you believe that one? He loves you more than you love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, well, He loves you just the way you are. The way you are. We're all imperfect, brothers and sisters. We all have difficulties. We all go through challenges. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, we have the biggest, biggest rock, the biggest crutch, the biggest, I just cannot get through to tell you how important it is to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Don't let anything come in between you and Christ. You know, we can walk over our problems without being frightened by storm. Yeah, it is frightening. We're only human, right, to a certain degree. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, there's an interesting fact of after the multiplication of the loaves. Jesus took leave of the apostles and was praying on the mountain, and they who were in the boat realized the agitation of the vessel due to the big storm and were terrified, and suddenly they saw someone walk on the water, the Messiah. No wonder. It was Jesus. They become even more frightened, and then they drop screams of terror. It is a ghost, right? The Lord, brothers and sisters, is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is alive. We do not serve a dead God, right? We don't serve a dead God, right? He will come out to meet you. So don't be discouraged at a time of storm. Ask the Lord to take you into His lap so that the storm does not overcome you. The Lord commands us, not just asks us, He's telling us, commands us to be bold and say that we need not be afraid of anything, because He will never leave us alone. And when we become aware of our difficulties and call for the help of heaven, everything changes. The storm calms down and we dare to walk on water. And that's what Peter experienced, right? So rest assured, when you bring the Lord into the boat of your life, everything changes. The wind ceases, the storm calms down, and God is replaced by the command of all things. Trust me, trust It's me. Do not be afraid. Whatever situation you're going through, trust for the Lord is on your side. Even in embarrassing situations of everyday life, there's really nothing to pray, nothing to fear. So I want you to pray with me as I go through this. Lord, I thank you for so many miracles and healings that have been performed in the lives of my brothers. You are truly the God of the impossible. Come in, Lord, in the boat of my life. See, Lord, agitation she is. Until today, I was afraid, and I thought I was alone. But now I do not fear, for the one driving the boat of my life is the Lord. I present to the Lord every situation that I'm in, and already I thank you for the new direction that you have given me, leading me. I'm not alone. I confess I was already tired and weak, afraid of big waves, but now, Lord, I have no more fear because you, Lord, are with me. Thank you for the miracle that you are doing in my life. I am a new person. From this moment, the rudder of my life is in your hands. I will not make any more decisions alone. I want to praise and thank you for peace and healing that you gave me. Blessed be your name, my Lord and my God. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I can only say that I hope that you've enjoyed our beautiful month, and through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, you will get through the storms of your life. Thank goodness we're Catholic, right, brothers and sisters? Do you ever say that to yourself? Thank you, Lord, that I am Catholic. You know, that's such a blessing. It is a blessing to be Catholic, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for being with me this afternoon here on the Father's Quilt, and I hope you join me each every Tuesday and Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30. We get together and we share scripture and Bible stories and hopefully food for your soul, right? And for your faith to strengthen it, of course. Brothers and sisters, thanks so much. See you next month in the month of June as we talk about and enjoy Saint Joseph, right? Comes around Father's Day, so I thought I'd spend the greatest spiritual father that we have, Saint Joseph. God bless you. Thanks again. Bye for now. I've got no